And at that point, that's really was the birth of the triangle, because I did it by chance before, but I came up with the triangle in 1988. And what I did, I found a secondary market to Colin. It was another vertical market. I talk about vertical markets in this course that I've written, in paperback book that is coming out. Which, by the way, my sales coach asked me to write a course. I can't believe that I've written a course and written a paperback book about this, but I find it pretty riveting. You might pick it up and see the same. But anyway, I had to replace 40% of my income quickly. So what I did was I got one of these high technology directories, which had 2,700 companies in it, and that's where I started to call 35 a day. You know, color in a block routine, and the 141 blocks I made that year came out of that book. So the moral of the story is, big accounts can disappear just like that, and a lot of times it's not your fault, but they can go away. And I was so caught up with servicing this big account, I didn't have enough other accounts to fall back on, so I had a big void to fill real quick. Lucky Joe filled that void real quick, but the only way I was able to do it was to take an action plan and make a game out of it, so I would do it every day.
I went into a strip center that's right on 60 that has a new business and a new signage that I'd seen on Thursday night.
Yep.
And so I made it a point that I was going to cold call it the next day. And as I was walking towards the business, I kept seeing this person looking out the curtain like, is she coming my way? Is she coming my way? Yes, I was. When I went to open the door, he kind of had his hand on the door, and he wasn't going to let me in. He has a big no soliciting sign on the door.
Oh. That doesn't scare
and,
me.
And I walked in, and there is a girl at like a reception area. She's very guarded, because every time I asked her a question, I said, I'm not really soliciting now. I'm here because I'm your Chamber of Commerce, and I wanted to welcome you to the community. And here's a brand new phone book and everything. I don't think they're legit. It was one of those cold calls that the kind of services they're offering, really, I should be turning them into Crime Stoppers instead.
A little naughty.
So, yeah, it was really a strange, and you could just tell by their guardedness. And every time I asked her a question, she'd look at him to see if she could answer. And it was a little spooky. I had somebody with me. I did take somebody with me.
Wow.
She likes knocking on the doors, not supposed to.
Well, you know, it's in a strip center. It's a business center. And wanted to make sure I wasn't excluding them for any reason.
That's right. Not on every door. You never know what door you're going to walk through, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've evolved over the past 25 years of doing outside sales. I've always done the same thing with different people every day, but what I figured out is to do it better for me was to really, the only way to dominate a territory, there's only two ways to do it. If you have the luxury, like the Chamber of Commerce or furniture company or healthcare company, or insurance company website, you can call on local owners in your market. You can do it with geography. Now, what I did when I opened up my real estate company, I selected a 5x5 mile territory, and I said, I'm only going to work in this 5x5 mile territory. And my routine's the same, you know, 2 hours a day, minimum of 10 walk-ins a day, but I figured in a 5x5 mile territory, I could revisit businesses on a 6-week cycle. Now, if you're calling on vertical markets across the country or even locally, you really can't do that. So the only way that you can do that is to take a pool of your top 300 wish customers and then 10 a day, 50 a week, you'll get through them every 6 weeks. And what will happen is you'll touch them 6 to 8 times a year. And if you touch companies 6 to 8 times a year, you'll probably start hitting business. I would expect you well, I've experienced, you generally pull 10 to 20 accounts out of a pool of 300 just by directly walking in on them. Now, you can also employ your passive marketing to it, like your postcard mailing, your email blast, your thank you cards, your... And what I do is when I convert one of my top 300, I just replace it with somebody else. So I always have a roll of 300 names. Well, for my real estate company, I have a top 50 wish list listing account that I call on. So I revisit those 50 on a regular basis, and I mail to them, and it works out pretty good. It refines, it focuses you on revisiting. If you leave it to chance, if you visit somebody once, you might as well not visit them at all, because they're not going to remember you. But you know, the third, fourth, or fifth touch, they're going to start seeing that you're for real. They'll understand what you do, and you might actually walk into timing when you do it. You also might walk into a three-headed sales order, but beware of that. But you know, either way, you can gain traction in your territory if you confine it to 300 names and rework them on a regular basis. I think sales managers would be doing their salespeople a favor if they just handed them a sheet of 10 names a day and organized it for them and just said, here's your 10. Go out and meet these 10 people today. Bring back the notes. We'll have somebody else take care of the database, and I'll give you 10 new names the following day. That will bring it to another level. So setting up your territory is critical if you want to save time, because the biggest enemy of any salesperson is time. You know, and most of the time it's windshield time, chasing low-hanging fruit is what it is. Oh, I got this big deal I'm going to run after over in Orlando, right? Guess what, folks? Low-hanging fruit is rotten. The good deals are the ones that haven't met a sales rep. You're the first time they've met a sales rep. You don't have any competition on those. And the timing is right because they've paid attention enough to listen to you. So by getting on a diligent routine to just try to walk into timing, you'll actually... It's the fastest method that I've found to meeting owners, bar any. When I got into the real estate business, my first day out, I went out with my friend Jay Civitello, who actually helped me write this book. And square one, I had not sold real estate at all. We're out cold calling. Third call we make that day, we come into this lumber yard, Fortune 500 company. I had 16 acres of land that I was peddling, you know, I told you about that. And the receptionist at the lumber yard said, oh, we're not the owner of this land. You need to go next door. And next door was an A-frame hut. So I go next door and I see this guy with a wide-rim wicker hat on, and he's a tractor guy, you know, mowing the lawn. I go up to the front door, there's cobwebs on the door, I pull on, it's locked. So I come off the front porch and I look over and I said, they told me his name was Mr. M. I said, you wouldn't happen to be Mr. M, would you? And the guy says, I guess. This was the owner of like 18 acres of property. And I told him about the property that I had that had a rail spur on it. He spent 3 hours with me. He actually walked the property. He was interested in buying the land that I was promoting. The only reason he didn't buy the land, it was too expensive for him to engage the rail line to this rail spur to make it work, you know, in the price point that we had it. But I'm saying, wow, third call, I need a decision maker ready to do a deal. That's pretty good odds. You know, so door knocking, in my opinion, is the fastest way against internet, postcard mailing, referrals, right? I mean, we could actually leave after this, and if anybody wants to go out with me, I got to make some calls. We could actually go out right after this class and make 10 door knocks, and I guarantee you we'll walk into an opportunity. So You guys probably all have written goals, right? Yeah? Well, I figured out a way to make them autopilot. We set up a blog. Bye, Lisa. Lisa's leaving now. Phil, pick
one. Bye, Lisa. Bye. Thank you.
Actually, Lonnie helped build a website for this course, and what it is, it's an interactive way to color your triangle online, set up your goals online, so you have 10 life goals that you can put on this website, and it cues a reminder that shows you your written goals 3 times a day. Now, I use that right now with another mechanism that I've subscribed to, but now I say, well, this works for me. It would work for somebody else. So written goals are probably the most important thing you can have. You need a written end goal, but you also need a written action plan goal. This is just an example of how I set up my goals. There's 10 categories. You can just pass it around the room and then. But basically, you put down your, like, I want to read 5 books this year, so how do I do that? That's my end goal. Okay, if I read 1 chapter a night before I go to bed, I'll read 5 books this year. That's just an example of one of the goals I have. And then recognition. Everybody needs recognition, so accountability with recognition works really well. I don't know how you folks respond to accountability, but I had hands-off sales managers most of my life, and they were like nurturing parents. They'd tell me, you know, go get them, Joe, you can do anything you want, and see you at the end of the day. That's how they did it, you know. And fortunately for me, I'm kind of a maverick, and I was comfortable with that. You know, I could go out and make my way and figure it out and come back with the woolly mammoth, you know. I did okay doing it, but what I discovered is that if I challenge myself with my peers, if I stayed accountable to my friends, it's kind of like when you're a teenager, right? Your parents would say, be brave, but be careful. Your friends would say, be brave and do more, right? I mean, at least for me, I would be braver being challenged by my friends than I would by my parents. So I looked at my managers as my parents, and I look as my accountability partners or peers, like Tricia goes out with me, and I'm accountable to you because we schedule time to meet each other, but I'm also showing you my activity and I'm asking you about your activity. You know, I don't want to be embarrassed in front of you because you're my peer. So what I've done on the website is because this is going to reach out across the country, I have a way to color in your triangle online and broadcast it to everybody that participates in the course. And then the other dynamic that I folded into it is gives you an opportunity to post the stories about what happens to you when you do this and share that across the country. And what it is, it offers you recognition because you're coloring in your block online. It offers you accountability to everybody that's doing it with you. And it also offers you situational stories that you can learn from. Like, you might have a better story than I have. You don't think so? I got some pretty good stories?
I know.
Okay. Well, hopefully you will create better stories than I have. I mean, you're a young man. I'm sure you're gonna have a lot of stories, but that's the magic. I mean, if you can stay accountable to your peers, actually what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a contest, because salespeople need contests. I always perform better with contests. And the top 12 stories this year is going to get the course for free. I've already put that out there. So, and then I'm going to have I have a big dream goal, and I hope everybody can help me with this, because this is a little large, but anyway, I want to have 2010 people participate in a cold calling convention that I'm going to have at the Ritz-Carlton JW Marriott in Orlando at the end of the year. And I think it's going to be dynamite. Princess Planalot's going to be there. We're going to have a full-blown play, and we're going to have training, so it'll be totally, you know, text the deck. You can write the whole trip off.
Way to get them there, Joe.
Yeah. Sorry about that, Mr. Obama, but, you know, this one, you know, sales guys deserve to reward themselves, and if you pay for a vacation, you might be able to write it off, so. But that's my big dream goal. I'm actually going up to visit my alma mater in Boston to speak to the School of Business next month and promote the course to them as well. So if you know anybody that needs this kind of program, we need the participation. So anyway. But anyway, accountability to your peers really is what gets... Actually, that's what's driven me. Having to tell Jennifer that I didn't make any calls today is worse than tell my manager I didn't make any calls today. Right? She's pretty harsh. So, same thing with you, right, Tricia? I mean, if I call you and say, how you doing? And I had to set up at the chamber today and we didn't get out. You get mad. And usually it's because... you want to be successful in front of your friends. So, does anybody have any questions about that? I want to challenge it, or?
This is a good point that Joe always makes.
Oh, BRC means behavior recognition card. I've been saying BRC. You know, I'm normally not acronym dude, but, you know, if I say an acronym, you don't understand it, you can tell me about it.
But he shows everyone.
Well, that's the other thing that I do to stay accountable. I show everybody what I do. I show them my card. And that traps me to say, okay, if, plus it brands me. Okay, wow, this guy's doing a lot of work, but it traps me, you know, so.
Joe, I have a good story to share.
Let's hear it.
It's not my story, but since the person who isn't here to share, I'll share it on her behalf. One of my coworkers followed your advice and set up, you know, with a synergistic partner, going out and doing cold calls every Friday.
Time out for a second. She's jumping ahead. We haven't gotten the synergistic partners, but I'll get to that in a minute. Sorry.
But set an accountability track by going out with another salesperson to go, you know, walk into doors, hoping to get business. And the first door that they walked in on their first time going out together, it was, there was no sign on the door, nothing, you know, indicating what exactly it was that they did. So they see all these cameras outside of the door, you know, pointing onto the street and on the strip and all this stuff. So they're kind of like, this is weird. I wonder, maybe it's a security company. So they walk in and they ask, you know, tell them who they are and ask if the person who handles all of their marketing decision making happened to be available. And they're like, we can't divulge that information. And the lady was just very tight-lipped and she was, you know, trying to dig deeper. Well, you know, do you know if you guys are doing anything with your marketing and your advertising right now? We cannot give you that information. There's no soliciting here. You guys really need to leave. Continues to go on, and like finally there's another person, and you could see there was cameras on the inside as well showing who was outside. That somebody walks out and steps out from behind and says, you guys really need to go. So they leave, and then they get to the end of this, you know, area that they're at, like all the way on the other side, and there's a property manager. It turns out it was the property manager's office, and they walk in there, start talking, and say, you know, what's on the other end of that, of this building or whatever? We might go down there. So they kind of played dumb like they hadn't already been there. And the guy says, oh, you can't go in there. That's Homeland Security. So that was their very first walk-in. And then another one, they did the following Friday. They went into a big skyscraper building. Probably had like 200 or 300 different businesses that occupied it. And it was big, no soliciting. And they were about 3 or 4 into it. And a woman who's, you know, a fire-breathing gatekeeper, says, there's no soliciting here. You guys need to leave. And they're like, oh, you know, we're not really soliciting. We just wanted to leave this here. Don't know if you guys have any interest. And they walk out, and there's 2 more cold calls down. And the on-site security guy comes, and he says, you know, not trying to be rude, but somebody called and said that you guys are soliciting, which was obviously the person. You're going to have to leave, he says. But look,
what I'm going to do for you, here's what I'm going to do for you. Follow me. He brings them back to his office and gives them a printout of the name, phone number, and address of every single business that occupied that entire building and said, here, go spend some time on the phone and then, you know, hopefully we didn't interfere with your selling ability. So you never know what opportunities you can get from that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a great story.
I have a story called IU Joe Cole. It's similar to that. This is when I sold office furniture, and what I used to do is I'd go to those high-rise buildings downtown, and I'd stuff my briefcase full of catalogs, furniture catalogs, with my business card. And I start at the top, and I go to every business in the building before I get caught. And I walk into this one office, and it's kind of dimly lit, no reception. So I walk through the bowels of this office looking for somebody, and I come upon this woman, startled her, and she says, this is a no soliciting building. And I said the same, no, I'm not soliciting, here's my catalog, you know, if you need anything, have a nice day. So I finished the building, I didn't get caught. Who's waiting for me at the bottom of the building? Two security trolls. Are you Joe Cole? Yes, I am. They wind up carrying me out of the building, you know, so. But the moral of that story is I got 3 orders out of that building. Now, the lady that blew the whistle on me didn't buy from me, but I got 3 accounts. You know, opportunity exists every day. You just have to figure out a way to do it. But that was a Katie story that you told, I think. Right, yeah.
Katie and Kelly went out.
Yeah, that's a great story. Great story.
First call.
I figured out another way to even improve on what I was doing. Not only going out with people traps you to do it. You know, you have to show up. But if you can figure out companies that call on the same end user that you call on and do make calls with them, a couple things happen. Well, first of all, I'll run down the line with having a partner, what it does for you. It makes you show up. You actually make more calls doing it. Like if Tricia, if we schedule 2 hours, you know, I said my minimum's 10. What's that?
Sometimes we would go over and
talk. We definitely, you would do more than 10 calls. Oh, yeah. You'd want to do, because you've scheduled time together. It helps you emotionally. You know, if I'm having a bad week and she's having a good week, she'll pick me up and vice versa, just by being, it gives you hope, basically. Okay, there actually are deals out there. You know, Tricia just had 2 accounts this week, you know. You know, it makes you braver on the call. I handed a flyer to a guy that was holding a rifle at a Brinks office one time, because I went out cold calling with Connie one day. And the other thing is that it offers you the ability to have front of mind with each other for referrals. It's amazing what can happen to you too. I had a client. He was a very particular client. He knew what he wanted in a building, and I went out searching for a building for this guy. And everything I brought back to him, he was underimpressed with. So I said, well, why don't we go for a ride? You show me what building you want to buy. So we go riding around, we wind up at this park, he points to this building, he says, I want to buy that building, Joe. So, okay, I bring him back to his office. Now, there wasn't any sign on this building, okay? I come back to the building, and tinted front doors, ring the bell, nobody comes out. I felt like I was visiting the Wizard of Oz, you know, who rang that bell? But nobody came out. So I walk around to the side of the building, see a bunch of people out having a smoke break, and I'm milling around trying to be noticed, and predictably, aggressively, one of the pack came over to me and said, what are you doing here? I said, well, I'm Joe Cole. I'm a real estate broker. I have a client looking to buy a building in this park, and I'm just trying to see if you own the building, and two, if you know, if you'd be interested in selling the building. And guess who this guy was? He was a facilities manager for the building. He goes, matter of fact, we are selling this building. You need to call Adam up in Ohio. He takes me into this building. There's actually a video, if you have time to watch it, the chamber has a video of this building. It's a really cool building. It's like a get smart building, you know, raised flooring. Hurricane shutters come up when the sun comes up, go down when the sun goes down. a generator that can run the building with power for 2 weeks without filling it up. It's a tremendously nice building. I estimate it's probably, well, I know it's worth $175 a square foot. It's a 27,000 square foot building. So 175 times 27,000, just under $5 million building. It's on 2.5 acres of land in a premier park, right? Well, he says, you need to call Adam. So I call Adam. Adam says, well, Joe, we have it under contract with two other buildings over in Sable Park. I said, well, Adam, when you close on these buildings, if you give my name to the folks that are buying these buildings, we're not interested in those other two buildings, I'll pay you a referral fee. So this is March. July 17th, I come out of a networking event in South Tampa. 5:30 in the afternoon, I get this call from Joe. Hey, Joe, this is Joe from so-and-so company. Adam told me to give you a call. Oh, yeah. Said, you're interested in the building, the data center building. Yeah, we're interested. What are you thinking? Is it on the market? No. Well, what do you want to price it at when you put it up? He said $110 a square foot. Following day, we wrote an offer for $106 a square foot with them paying 3% of my commission. Now, my owner was obligated to 4% commission. Okay. They wound up writing an offer with my commission included, $81,000 they were paying me to buy their building. And my buyer only had to pay $27,000, the 1%. And we bought the building for $2.7 million. Now, I can't predict that'll ever happen again, but the guy literally pointed at the building he wanted to buy, and I cold called the building, and that really happened. And I have a video at the chamber to prove that. So, it's just amazing. You cannot believe how many opportunities that exist out there in any market if you go out looking for them. The bottom line is I'm efficient with my paid time. Cold calling is paid time. So if you do your paid time, you can do whatever you want for the rest of the day. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Because,
like write a book.
Like write a book. Like write two books. It doesn't matter.
So it's hard. It takes a lot of time and you need results.
And I get no results. Well, I just told you about the results I don't get. And, you know, I can't predict when my next result's going to happen, but I know I definitely won't happen if I don't show up every day. So I'm just trying to create a better story, because that funeral parlor story, I don't know if I'll create a better story than funeral parlor. So that's a pretty good story, but I'm going to try my best. But anyway, what do all these stories have in common? Anybody?
Discipline.
You showed up.
Okay. Anybody else? What else? Tricia, what do all these stories have in common?
Luck.
That's the right answer. They're all my stories. You need to create your own stories. And the only way you can create your own stories is if you play the game.
Thank you for listening to our instructional CD. If you want to maximize your sales results by setting up your territory, a foolproof system for leveraging business relationships to acquire stronger referrals, and to become a top producer in your market, we recommend the Survival Kit package. The Survival Kit includes a quick start manual, 10 audio CDs, Mercenary Cold Calling Tactics for the Sales Jungle book, and exclusive interactive blog access for 1 year. Blog access helps you set up your goals, create your behavior recognition card, track your activity and share your sales stories with your peers. It also offers an online community of support from like-minded salespeople. To get involved, visit mercenarycoldcalling.com, click on the Survival Kit tab, and place your order. My goal for you is to help you exceed your expectations for this course and to see you at our annual conference.